Well, hello again. Thanks for being here. Certainly do have a great deal of visitors, and we want to express our appreciation again for your presence. And if you're just passing through, or if you just are curious about who we are and what we do here, we hope that you can come and join us anytime that you are able to. I hope that our lesson this morning will affect all other lessons that you will ever hear in your life, whether it be from this pulpit or from wherever it is that you go from this place or in Bible classes or even in interpersonal relationships. And so I'd like to begin by asking a question, and that is, how well do you listen? What'd you say? If you had to give an estimation of yourself with regard to this, how well would you say, are you a good listener, do you think? Would the Lord describe you as a good listener? I'd like for each one of us to think about that question this morning, answer it for ourselves, look at what the Lord had to say about his audience and the people that he encountered, the different kinds of listeners that are presented to us throughout the Bible, and then think about and ask the question, how is it that we might become better listeners? How can we become a better audience? And this is a lesson just as much for me as it is for you, because I'm in your seat just as often as I am in the pulpit. So this is a lesson that can apply to all of us. I want us first to think about, or first to notice, that Jesus himself emphasized good listening. He was fond of one expression in particular. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He says this regarding John the Baptist. Look over in Matthew chapter 11 with me, please. Matthew chapter 11, and read verse 15 in its context. Matthew 11, verse 15. We'll just see one example of where it is that he uses this expression that he used throughout his ministry, throughout his earthly life. Matthew chapter 11, verse 13, beginning, if you would please. Matthew 11, 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. Then verse 15, our quote, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He'll say it again with regard to a parable, particularly the parable of the sower. And he will say it again after he has even ascended to heaven in the context of Revelation several times in chapter 2, verses 7 and 11 and 17 and 29. He who has ears to hear, and he'll add this to the expression, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let him hear, in other words, what God is saying to them, to these churches, what instruction is being offered. So Jesus himself emphasized good listening. So why did he repeat this so much, do you think? Well, one reason I would submit to you is that listening is important. In fact, it is of utmost importance. This is a point we'll emphasize over and over again throughout our study this morning. Look in Mark chapter 4 with me now. Read two verses from Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, beginning in 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Let's just focus on what he says there in verse 24. First of all, take care, he says, what you listen to. So it was obvious that it was important if he's saying, take care, right? And then he says, the effort that you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. That's the point we revisited several times in many different lessons. He says, the effort that you put, or the measure that you give, the standard of measure, is what will be measured to you. And then he says, even more so besides that. And then this expression that was common in his day that he used, whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. That principle that if you're going to be lazy, well, you're not going to profit anything, and even what gain you did have, even that's going to be taken away from you. Okay, but if you're willing to put the effort in, he says, and see it as an important thing, more will be given to you. So listening was of utmost importance, and we need to take care what we listen to. Also, many people simply just didn't want to listen. Read with me a lengthy passage, and from John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This was an issue that Jesus faced, again, throughout his ministry, of folks who were just indifferent. John chapter 6. Begin reading with me in verse 59. John chapter 6 in verse 59. On the heels of some very difficult things that he has just said to his audience. Notice what he says beginning in verse 59. These things he said to them in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, "For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." And as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And so Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Notice Simon Peter's answer. Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." What's Peter saying? He's saying, "We know because we've been listening to you that you have the words of life. And that you are who you say you are, that you are the Son of God." But many folks, when they heard his teaching, according to the context, they just left. They couldn't stomach it. They couldn't stomach the truth. But Peter, hearing the same message that these other folks were hearing, even though they left, decided that it was important enough that he needed to get through it, that he needed to hammer it out and figure it out what it was the Lord was trying to say. And that's his conclusion. You have the words of life. Many people simply didn't want to listen, and we need to imitate Peter's attitude. And many people didn't listen with the goal to understand. Many people didn't listen to understand. John chapter 8, same book, read with me two chapters forward and a couple of more verses. Verses 43 and 45. John chapter 8, verses 43 through 45. Many people did not listen to understand. Notice the question Jesus asked, "Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot understand my word," or "you cannot hear my word." Verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me." What was their agenda? He says, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do his desires." That's what's at the front of your mind. Not understanding what I'm saying to you, not the truth. You're not concerned with the truth. You're just out to get me. And he says, "You can't understand because that's your focus." Because that's what's at the front of your mind, is that you are focused on your own desires, the desires of your father. He says, "And you just can't hear my message. You can't stand it. You can't stand to hear the truth." So we need to listen to understand as well. Furthermore, the scripture teaches that there are different kinds of listeners, aren't there? Some of which we've already noticed. Consider that the Bible describes some people as dull of hearing. And some Hebrew converts had this problem specifically. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5 with me now. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Hebrews 5, verse 11. "Concerning him," that is Jesus, "we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing." Now, what does that mean? What does this expression, "dull of hearing," mean? Well, two commentators say that it means lazy and sluggish. So what's the problem here, according to this writer? He says, you've just gotten lazy. Here it is, we have these precious truths to speak to you, but you can't hear them because you're lazy. And you just don't want, you're indifferent. In other words, your attitude is the problem. So we need to ask ourselves, are we lazy listeners? Are we passive listeners? Do we engage our minds and study and seek to grow in the knowledge of the truth? What is it that we're thinking whenever we hear the message of God, regardless of who's preaching it, the preacher or who's teaching Bible class? Are we passive listeners? Are we engaged in the study, looking along with them and looking into the truths that they're giving? Isaiah prophesied about such people, and Jesus himself applied it to many of his own listeners. Again, the problem was their attitude. Notice in Matthew chapter 13 with me. Matthew chapter 13, two more verses. a few more verses, 11 through 15. Matthew 13, look what he says beginning in verse 11. Matthew 13, Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away." So there's that expression again that we noticed earlier in the same book, Matthew chapter 11, and applying it to listening and the effort that is going into his audience willingness to listen. Verse 13, "Now therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Notice the prophecy now, verse 14. "In their case, the prophecy Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand, and you will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive.' And what's the reason?" Verse 15. "The heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." What was the condition? Again, the heart has grown dull, he says. They've gotten lazy. And if their attitude was fixed, they could hear and they could understand, and they would come to me and I would heal them. The problem was their attitude, and that affected their ability to listen and how they listen. Another kind of listener are those with itching ears, described in 2 Timothy chapter 4. These are the selective ears, and they only hear what is pleasing to them. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me now. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and read verses 3 and 4, where these kinds of folks are described. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, Paul says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." So what's the problem? They wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. They can't stand sound doctrine. Look what he says in verse 2, just before verses 3 and 4 that we just read. He tells Timothy, "You preach the word. You preach the truth, and you be ready in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with great patience and instruction." So you teach the word of God, in other words. And then he says the time's coming when they're not going to be able to stomach the truth. They're just going to heap to themselves teachers of their own desires. And their lack of ability to listen led to their demise, didn't it? What does verse 4 say? They turned away their ears from the truth and turned aside. Well, what happens when you abandon the truth? Galatians chapter 1, Paul says there's no other gospel but the one that we preached and that we can read of in our New Testament. You abandon that, and Paul says, you're accursed, you're anathema, you're eternally condemned, in other words. It leads to your demise. So are we interested in teachers and preachers who suit our personal taste, not only in the content, maybe perhaps in the speaker as well? Look over in Ezekiel chapter 33. I believe we see an example of this. Ezekiel chapter 33. Read with me two verses from the prophet here. Ezekiel 33. Verses 30 through 32. 33, chapter 33, beginning in verse 30, he says, "But as for you, Sodom, man, your fellow citizens, you talk about you by the walks and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, 'Come now and hear what the message is that comes from the Lord.' And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people and hear your words. But notice, they do not do them, for they do lustful desires. They do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain." Verse 32, "Behold, you are like, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them." What was the problem? These people love to hear this guy talk. It was for the wrong reason, wasn't it? You are like a sensual song to them or a beautiful instrument, but they do not do what you say. They were so enamored with the style, I guess, for lack of a better term. So we need to ask ourselves, does that describe us? Are we like these folks with itching ears who are selective listeners? And do we go even so far as to be selective about who we want to listen to? Do we just flip the light switch depending on the preacher that's up here? Are we those with itching ears? Notice also the last listener that we'll discuss, and that is the noble and good-hearted listener. I put both of those terms up there because that is Jesus' own description of those who listen to his word and act on it. Look over in Luke chapter 8 with me. Luke chapter 8. Explore this text and the meaning behind it with me as we consider the last listener. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And explaining the parable of the sower, this is what he has to say. The seed that fell on the good soil, these are the ones who heard the word, that is the word of God, in an honest and good heart, and they hold it fast, and they bear fruit with perseverance. That is, they act on it. So what did the Lord say about those who heard his word and acted on it? That they were noble and good hearted. I found it interesting that the underlying idea behind this idea, or behind this word noble as it's translated here, is beauty. Someone who is beautiful. And then honest, as the New American Standard translates it, or genuine. And then good, as the other qualifier, one who is useful, is the underlying meaning, or honorable, or excellent. Those are the words of the Lord, and how he described people who listened to his word and who did it, who acted on it. So my question is, for us, would the Lord use such words to describe you and I as a listener? Because again, regardless of who's teaching Bible class or who's preaching, hopefully they're still using the same source material, and that is the word of God. So ultimately, we're listening to God's message. And what he say of us, you're doing a good job. You are being genuine, and you're being honest, and you're hearing with faith, in other words. Or would he say something else? You're being lazy, or you're being selective, and you need to get it right. What would he say to each one of us? So how do we become better listeners if this is a problem for us? Certainly there's always room for improvement. I want to offer one example from Nehemiah. And I think that we need to recognize listening is an act of worship. Look over in Nehemiah chapter 8 and consider this wonderful example with me. Nehemiah chapter 8. Read verses 1 through 3 with me. Verses 1 through 3 of Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people were gathered as one man at the square which was in the front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. And then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it before the square which is in front of the water gate from very early in the morning until midday. In the presence of men and women, those who can understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Skip down to verse 5 now. Verse 4 is rather long. Verse 5, beginning again, same chapter. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen and Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed low, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Jump to verse 8 now. Verse 8, same chapter. And they read from the book and from the law of God, translating it to give the sense so that they could understand the reading. And then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Now, what is it that we notice about the reaction of these folks? The ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law, verse 3, as we read. And as you notice, the time frame which it was read, early in the morning until midday. And it says that they were attentive to what was being said. And the people stood up when the book was opened, sign of respect, recognizing this message isn't coming from Ezra, but he's reading from the law of Moses, the law that was given to Moses from God. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped with their faces to the ground. Verse 6. And they took the reading seriously. They wept. They had a very emotional reaction. They understood the weight of what was being said, didn't they? And they mourned and they wept at the law of God. So how we listen, I would submit to you, is just as indicative of our devotion to God as how we sing or how we pray. Our minds are hopefully focused and engaged when we're praying. And we're listening to the words of the person who's leading our mind in prayer. And also when we sing, we are to do so with understanding. And our mind, again, is to be engaged and focused and recognize that we're praising God. And the same is true when we're listening to His Word. We need to have a mind that's active, not passive. We need to be listening and attentive and trying to understand what it is, what the will of God is. We need to listen with faith also. Look over in Hebrews chapter 4. The writer here will compare folks who did not listen with faith to those who did, and will show us the consequences of both sides. Hebrews chapter 4, read with me verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, that any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Now, what has he just done in chapter 3? He's recounted the story of the wandering in the wilderness, the good news being preached to these folks. But, nevertheless, many of them fell away, fell dead under the judgment of God. And he said that happened to them because what they heard, just as we have heard the message of God, was not united by faith. They didn't believe it enough to act. It wasn't important enough to them to act on it and to be obedient. You'd be, have it united with faith. And so we need to listen to the Word of God with faith. The message to be, for the message to be of any benefit, again, we must unite it with faith so as to act on it. And that's exactly the point that James is making. In James chapter 1, a passage I think that will be familiar to us. And even James shows that it's a demonstration of identity. It's a matter of identity of whether or not you act on this message of faith that that you have, if you unite this message with faith. Look with me in James chapter 1, verse 22, beginning. James chapter 1, verse 22, he can say it a lot better than I can. Beginning in verse 22, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So the man who hears the word with faith, and enough faith to act on what he hears, that is the man that James says will be blessed. And if you don't, it's like losing your identity, forgetting who you are as a Christian, he says, looking in the mirror and walking away, not remembering who you are. The writer again shows that listening is really a matter of life and death. Flip back over to Hebrews chapter 2 this time. Hebrews chapter 2. And read with me the first four verses. Chapter 1. The writer is demonstrating Jesus' superiority to angels. And in the Old Testament, a lot of times, messages came through angels. The revelation of God was spoken through angels. And he's making the point in chapter 1 that God in these last days has spoken to us through His dear Son, that is Christ. Okay, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 beginning, he says, "For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, and it was confirmed to us by those who heard, and God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will." What's his point? How can we escape? Well, it's a rhetorical question. We can't escape if we neglect so great a salvation. You need to take heed to what God has to say about that. Because he says, he's arguing by a fortiori, you might say. So if it was true in this case, in the Old Testament, with the message that the angel revealed, everybody was punished that rejected that. Now we have this greater truth in front of us. And if we neglect it, there's just no hope for us. We are lost. So listening is a matter of life and death. In closing, I'd like to just offer some final thought questions. We don't always do this, or I don't always do this, but nevertheless, just to help grease the wheels in our minds to get them turning with regard to application. Some final thought questions I'd like to offer for all of us to consider. We should ask ourselves, do I follow along in my own Bible, whether we're talking about class or sermon or whatever? Or in the very least, do I take notes? Or do I check the scriptures that I have a question about, at least? And let me add also, do you think that the people in Ezra's day would have done so if they could have, given their reaction to the law of God and the esteem with which they held it? Do you think that they would have demonstrated the respect and demonstrating their respect to listening to the law of God, at least try to see for themselves what it said? We live in a glorious time in which the revelation of God has been literally put at our fingertips. I go so far as to say, and I'm almost positive, that in every single pew in front of you, there's a copy of the Word of God. And that's an advantage and a privilege that we enjoy that most people throughout history have not. We didn't just wake up one day and all of a sudden there was a Bible in English in our hands. There's a great deal of bloodshed and work that had to be done. But through God's providence and His grace, we have that before us. So do we take advantage of that, ultimately, is the question. Do I have the self-discipline to keep my eyes open so that I don't nod off? Is this indicative of someone who is eager to hear God's word? Now then, doesn't that really boil down to a question of discipline? Yes, it's early in the morning. Maybe we had a late night. Wednesday, it's the middle of the week. Maybe we've had a hard day at work, extra hard, and we're just tired. We are just ready to go to sleep. But here we have 30 minutes or an hour in which to meet, and we're just going to study together. Do I have the discipline to push through and keep my eyes open so that I don't nod off and hear what God has to say so that I don't nod off? What would be the Lord's reaction to that, do you think? And do I consider how the Lord would describe my effort each time I come to the assembly, whether we're talking about singing or praying or listening to His word? And do we ask ourselves, what kind of listener would He describe me as? Again, am I dull? Do I have itching ears? Or am I going to be the noble and good-hearted listener? So that's our lesson for this morning. Again, I hope that will affect everything that we study and every study that you have with anyone from now on. Because, again, that's something that can translate this topic, even though we've studied with regard into how we respond to God's word. Certainly it's something that can carry over into our relationship with our brethren, can it not? And how we listen to them and the respect that we demonstrate to them if they have an issue or a question with us. So if you're here this morning and there's something that you need to do to make your life right with God, well, we would hope that you would make that choice. And we stand ready to encourage you to and support you in making that choice and putting your faith in Christ, being baptized in His name. And if you're a brother or sister who's regressed back into the ways of the world, we hope that you would make that known. If you've been putting it off and putting it off and delaying, you're only hurting yourself. And we want to help you. If you want to make that known in a public way, hope that you would come forward as we stand and sing to encourage you.